Let's again read God's word in the Gospel according to John at chapter 4. John chapter 4, we might read there at verse 34. And as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together, especially verses 35 to 38. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. See not ye that are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. Amen. Especially verses 35 to 38. Say not ye that are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The Lord Jesus had to go through Samaria on his way to Galilee. And there was a spiritual reason as to why he had to go there, through there in God's providence. Souls were to be saved. There's one reason why, and already this woman at the well has been brought to faith in Christ. And not only have souls to be saved, there are lessons to be given to the disciples that they shall learn through this work in Samaria. One lesson surely is this, that sinners can be converted in the most unlikely places. Had you been expecting to hear of someone being brought to faith in Christ? Well, if someone had said, Sychar in Samaria, you'd have said, no way. These Samaritans are far from God. They're blinded in their mixed up religion, which is so polluted with false views. And certainly this woman, of all women, was an unlikely convert. What a lesson the disciples had to learn. What a lesson for you and me, not to write off anyone. The most unlikely people can come to faith in Christ. That should be an encouragement to you. If you have family who seem far from the Lord today, or if you have neighbours who seem so hardened in sin, do not give up on such. Keep on praying for them. Keep on witnessing to them. Sinners in the most unlikely places, the most unlikely people, can be converted. A second lesson was that they should be zealous for the salvation of souls. And we saw something of that last Sabbath. Jesus was making it clear that this work he was doing of speaking to this woman and of their spiritual needs was more important to him than food. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I find more satisfaction in it than in anything else. You're zealous for the salvation of souls. Well, surely we should be. And the Lord himself goes on and encourages us in that as he points to the crowds who are coming with this woman through the fields to meet with him at the well. He says to his disciples, See not ye that are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Look, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And what he's seeing is this woman returning with people. And he is thinking of how soon there shall be a harvest of souls. Let's then look at this word as it applies to each one of us here. First thing to notice is that evangelism is an urgent work. An urgent work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And you can see there that the Lord is impressing upon them the urgency of the work that they are engaged in. He's aware that there is a great danger in putting things off, in procrastination. And he comes out with what would appear to be a saying, or like a proverb, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. There were 4 months between the end of the sowing season and the beginning of the harvest. 4 months. And it would seem that there were those who would say, well, there are 4 months, and then comes a harvest. In other words, there's plenty of time before the harvest comes. We can relax a bit. We've been busy sowing the crops, and now is a time to take things a bit easier, and eventually, when the harvest comes, we'll be busy working again. And he's saying, look, don't be like that. He's seeing these people coming across the fields. And what he's saying is, look, there's a reaping time appearing. There's a reaping time appearing. Now is no time for ease. Now is no time to be sitting back. There are souls in need of a saviour. And therefore there is gospel work to be done now. Friends, let us remember that if we only lift up our eyes and look around, are there not souls who are in need of a Saviour? And should we not be looking for opportunities to harvest a soul, as it were, to be used of God, to bring someone into his kingdom, to faith in Christ? Today is the day of salvation. And today is a day, therefore, when we are to look for and expect God to be at work in the hearts of people. And yes, it might not be the ordinary harvest time. Do you think of how at times you get even plants growing and bearing fruit at unusual times? Well, that can happen spiritually as well. When things aren't the expected time, or when things don't seem to be very flourishing, when it comes to the work of the gospel and the conversion of souls. He's saying, look, don't be saying there's 4 months. Now is the time. Friend, now is the day of salvation, when sinners need to be brought to Christ. And now is the day of salvation, when you, if you're without Christ, must close with Christ as he is offered to you in the gospel, as that saviour of sinners. And you see, he does an urgency, because the crop is only safe when the harvest is gathered. The crop is only safe when the harvest is gathered. Lift up your eyes, look in the fields, they are white already to harvest. And he's, of course, using something, an illustration that they are familiar with. That when harvest time comes, the corn on the field is ripe, and it must be reaped at that time. What happens if it is not reaped at that time? If it's left in the field? Well, it will perish. A bit like the potatoes, say, left in the fields, and then the rain comes, and more rain comes, you can't get it in, the frost comes, and you end up with a field full of rotten potatoes. They perish. There is no harvest. How often the rain might come, and there's the loss of the harvest, or the danger of delay. What's he impressing upon us here? Is it not simply this? That if you and I will not be at work seeking to gather souls into the barns of Christ's kingdom, then they shall perish. They shall perish. Let the harvest that is lost. Oh, there are many souls around us. In your family, in your workplace, in the school, in the community around our building here, in our town, never mind going further afield. Many, many souls. And many souls that are on a broad road that leads to destruction. And let us never, ever forget that any soul that leaves this world without Christ is a soul that leaves this world in sin. And anyone who leaves this world in sin will perish in their sins. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. What was Peter saying there? Oh, souls must be saved. Why? Because if not, they will be ruined forever and ever in a lost eternity. And they must be saved. And there is only one way of salvation, and that it is through Jesus Christ. My friend, there's a lesson there. If you're here tonight and you're hearing the call of the gospel, and you have heard it often, and it's been impressed upon you by loved ones and by preachers of your need of Christ. If you are resisting Christ for different reasons, or saying we will deal with these matters at another time, if you are resisting God's word, the truth gives you no grounds for hope whatsoever. You are on that way that leads to destruction. Remember that every single sin that you have committed makes you worthy of hell. Every sin, each sin, regardless of how small or insignificant in the eyes of yourself or others, is monstrous in the eyes of God, because it is against the one who is holy, against the one who is your creator and your lawgiver. It is rebellion. You have failed to glorify him. You have robbed him of his due, the honor that you are due to give him, of keeping his commandments, of obeying him, of living to his glory. And you are worthy of eternal condemnation and damnation and a lost eternity. And here the Savior is saying, there is only one way of salvation. Souls must be reaped. If the harvest is not gathered, if people are not brought into that kingdom, they will perish forever. There is only safety in Christ. So, friend, in love, because we are concerned for your soul, we say to you and plead with you to lay a hold of Christ, to see your need of him, to turn from sin, and to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Dear believer, do you believe what we have just said? Do we really believe souls are perishing without Christ? Are you burdened? Are you concerned? Say not there are 4 months to the harvest. Oh, who knows when souls will be harvested? Remember the illustration the Lord gave, the time when the wheat and the tares would be harvested, as it were. What a fearful thing for people to go on in unbelief. Oh, let us seek to do what we can, while we can, to gather souls into the kingdom. The crop is only safe when the harvest is gathered. Perhaps you're here tonight and you are not far from the kingdom. You're a bit like one of these bits of stalks of wheat that have grown up and matured, but not yet reaped. It's good to be under the gospel. It is good to enjoy listening to the truth. It is good to read God's word and to listen to sermons. It is good to be convicted of your sin. But remember, friend, that these things are not conversion. Make sure that you have a living faith in the Savior, that you do not rest in any of these things, but that you cling to Christ alone as the only one who can deliver you from the wrath which is to come. You must press into the kingdom, as Christ put it. The crop is only safe when it's harvested. You can see how the urgency of this work is brought out, in that this is a work that deals with everlasting souls. Verse 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages, he gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Here's a reminder. Your soul shall live forever. Indeed, your very body shall be raised again at the resurrection, and enter into that resurrection to life, or that resurrection to damnation. The fruit or the effects of the harvest or the non-harvest are eternal. We're dealing with everlasting souls. And the gospel brings life, everlasting life, but not to have Christ is to not know life, but to have the wrath of God abiding forever. That's why we plead with you. And we don't stop pleading with you, because we are concerned for your soul. Because the one thing you need is Christ. Evangelism, it's an urgent work. Notice secondly, We're told here that evangelism is a varied work, a varied work. He says that he that sows and he that reaps rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour, other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. You'll notice there that the nature of the work varies. He speaks of sowing and reaping. Now, we all know that sowing and reaping are two very different things. You have the sowing, which is very much a laborious work. There's a preparation of the ground, and then there is the sowing of the seed. And, well, there is little to see. Indeed, it seems to be a work where everything is lost. You throw away your seed. It's hidden in the ground in the hope that it will germinate and grow. And then there is reaping, a joyful work, because there is the enjoyment of the present harvest. What a rewarding work. With joy the person brings in the sheaves. There's a harvest, and there's food for the rest of the year. They're sowing and they're reaping. They're very different types of work. I suppose we could say there is spiritual sowing and there is spiritual reaping as well. Spiritual sowing. Well, there's someone who knows nothing of the truth. Is there a God? Who is this God? Does he expect anything of me? Will there be a judgment? Friends, we've been so blessed with being brought up under the gospel where we know so much. There are many in this world who know nothing. Absolutely nothing about the gospel. And sometimes the very curiosity is what actually leads them to begin to read the Bible, and through that they're converted. And we're thankful when you hear of such things. It's wonderful. There's spiritual sowing, where people are reminded of the basics of who God is, what he demands, perfect obedience, of the sinfulness of sin and the need of a Saviour. You know, we live in a day where there's much easy believism, where people try and cut out almost the sowing as if people can be encouraged just to believe in Jesus. Now, I really don't know who he is and why they're believing, but he's someone a bit like a life coach who'll help them through life. And that's it. And many souls are deceived, because there has been little sowing. And yet it's important work. If you don't sow, you won't get a harvest. If people aren't instructed in the truth, then how will they come to believe? And yes, there's spiritual reaping. When we think of the ingathering of souls, and that's especially what the Lord was referring to here. He's seeing souls coming, and he has in view the fact that they are going to be brought into the kingdom. They're going to be brought to conversion. They will be plucked for Christ. And yes, the Lord uses people. We think of the Philippian jailer. The Lord uses Paul. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the harvest is reaped, and you find a soul coming to Christ. The work varies. Notice also the time of the work varies. Usually, there are distinct periods for sowing and for reaping. That's true in the realm of nature. And there's a sense in which it's true when it comes to individuals, them being brought to faith in Christ, and also when the Lord is at work in a community, awakening souls in an awakening. There may be, as it were, years of sowing, and it seems to make no difference. Years where the ground has been broken up and the seed has been sown, and little happens. Years when there was nothing, and then an awakening breaks out. The gospel was being preached before Whitfield and Wesley were used by God in the Great Awakening, along with many others. You think of many of the revivals. It's not that there wasn't God at work and the gospel being preached. We live in a time where you could say there certainly isn't much reaping. A time when we sow and see little in return. Friend, don't give up. Be patient, persevere, pray. That's what you must do. And as you see people, speak to them, yes, of the need of their soul. And be aware of where they are, so that you can lead them from where they are to the truth, that you might press upon them their need of the Saviour. Perhaps people who have moved in from elsewhere, who've not had the privileges that you have, they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the first thing about the gospel. And you have to begin at the ABCs. Sowing. Basic things. Be patient. Persevere. Pray. Sometimes it takes a while to work. Sometimes you find that the time of sowing and reaping comes together. And that's what you have here. He's saying, "See not, there are 4 months to the harvest before. Hold, look at the fields, they are white and ready for already for harvest." And what he is saying is, well, now is a time when there is going to be an immediate harvest cut. They might say, but where's the sowing being? Well, the Lord's at work. And he can work quickly. As is put in Amos chapter 9 at verse 13, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." Lord can work quickly. There are people here who perhaps the first time they went to church as ignorant people, not really knowing much about the gospel, they were mesmerized by what they were heard, perhaps even brought to faith in Christ. And as others, perhaps they can say, well, I was a long time, I was under the gospel for years, and I knew so much, but yet I didn't understand so much. And I'm thankful God was patient with me. The work varies. If you're here and you're seeking the Lord and it seems as if you can't find him, you know your need of him, and you're crying out for mercy, don't give up. Persevere. Seek the Lord. For he says that those who seek him shall find him. And ask people to help you. To understand the truth and to try and help you see where, well, you may be going wrong. That they might point you in the right way to the Saviour. The devil will say, give up, it doesn't work. Friend, that's not true. The gospel saves sinners, and it's what you need. The time of the work varies. And indeed, you can say that generally speaking, there are times when it seems there are more openings for the gospel than other times. Times of awakening. The times of revivals. Times of awakening. Where great progress was made and many were swept into the kingdom, there was reaping taking place. If you think of the apostolic age, for many years the prophets had been sowing. John the Baptist was sowing. The Spirit is poured out in the day of Pentecost. And for a few hundred years, the gospel spread greatly. And then a deadness came over the church. You think of what happened up to the Dark Ages. And then you have an awakening again at the time of the Reformation. The Lord has times for reaping and times for sowing. You think of the 19th century. There was a great expansion in mission activity. Things were coming together to allow the gospel to be preached throughout the world in a way that it was more difficult before. All over the world, souls were being converted and the kingdom of God advancing. Think of how China is flourishing today. South America, millions coming to faith in Christ. The Lord is reaping in places. Remember that, friends. Give thanks for that. And as you hear of blessing elsewhere, let it provoke you to a holy jealousy to plead with God to return to us. We might not be living in times of great blessing, but the Lord still draws near. And he still has special times when he speaks, when there are perhaps special opportunities, when he draws near in his grace, not in those days of awakening. We wish such was in our own country, but that's not the way just now. But personally, there can be that. Perhaps he's delivered you from some problem recently. Perhaps illness has come into your family. Death has come. God speaks to you in these providences. And such times are times when he is speaking that he might awaken you. Listen and respond. When Jesus of Nazareth passes by, now is the time to cry out for mercy. Beware of just allowing the opportunities to pass by. It may be, if you go on like that, you'll be like those who stalks of wheat that didn't get reaped ended up rotting. Yourself will be to blame because you did not listen to God's voice of providence and his voice in the gospel. The work varies. The time of the work varies. Notice even the workers vary. The Lord brings that out here. There are sowers, there are reapers. Well, you think of John the Baptist sowing. We might think of Christ as reaping. We certainly think of his apostles as reaping. The Lord makes it clear that he that sows and he that reaps rejoices together. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, ye entered into their labours. Well, what's he saying? There's a sense in which it doesn't matter whether you're a sower or a reaper. Get on with the work that I appoint you. Be diligent. See the need of souls and be faithful in that work. For there is no work that is insignificant that is done for Christ as it seeks to bear witness to him by word and by action. And yes, God does use different people. But you'll notice they're united together in that work. And we're not to make much or overmuch of men. Because after all, who gives the increase? Paul may plant, Apollos may water. God gave the increase. And he's the one we need to come and bless the gospel. God uses all sorts of things. And the conversion of a sinner, be faithful in your witness, in your life, in your word. God can use that to speak to others. Let's just notice briefly in conclusion that evangelism is a rewarding work. He says, he speaks to us here of the joy that there is in this work. He that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together. Oh, there's joy in heaven. And there's joy in earth when souls are brought into the kingdom. The sower rejoices. He rejoices when he hears of others being reaped and brought into the kingdom. That's what matters. Don't you rejoice, dear believer, when you hear of people being converted? You may have prayed for them. You may have spoken to them at times. It may be something else which has finally, from a human perspective, as we would see it, having led them to Christ. That doesn't matter. You rejoice. Oh, friend, what joy we will have if you will but came to Christ. What joy you will give parents, husband, wife. What joy you will give. A reason, surely, to come to Christ. And there's the joy of the prospect of fruit. Remember, God's word will not return to him void. God will bless that word one way or another. And he is able to save souls. You remember how Rutherford could speak of how his heaven would be two heavens. If he made a God for God's right hand, a soul from Anworth. What joy for sinners coming to the Saviour. Friend, we are real. We are earnest in pleading with you to come to Christ. The only reward that God's people ever want is the joy of seeing a sinner coming to the Saviour. Hear my crown. Hear my glorying, says Paul. He writes to the Thessalonians. Yes, those who turn many souls unto righteousness shall shine as the stars in the heaven. Friend, do not give up being a witness, sowing, and looking for opportunities to reap. This is a rewarding work, is it not? Let us therefore press on. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us pray that there might yet be a harvest of souls and not give up. Let me close by asking tonight, how have you responded to the gospel? Why was there this urgency? Get on with the work now. It was because of the danger of perishing. Remember that. And give yourself no rest till you know that you are safe in Christ. Without him, you're in danger. That is why we plead with you to be reconciled to God through Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, bless thy truth to us. Help us to realize that what we deal with has eternal consequences. Oh, we thank thee that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. May we give no rest till we know that we are in Christ. And may we be found rejoicing in him, the Saviour. May he be at work applying the truth by his Spirit tonight. Grant thy people grace to sow. And oh, may they reap also. Hear us, Lord. Bless us. We pray for a day of gospel power, a day of awakening, a day of reaping. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. For there are so many around us who are perishing. Have mercy upon souls. For thy great name's sake. Amen. We conclude in Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. Among the heathen said, the Lord great things for them hath wrought. The Lord hath done great things for us, whence joy to us is brought. The whole psalm, Psalm 126, when Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we.
When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. Among the heathen said the Lord great things for them hath wrought. The Lord hath done great things for us, when joy to us is brought. As dreams of water in the south, our bondage, Lord, ring all. His own near reaping time of joy and joy they that man appearing precious it in going forth not more. He not less bringing back his gifts, rejoicing.